must begin. We invite you into our circle. If that's you, give us a sign.
This is a scam.
We do not attack the clients.
We help people. We give them closure.
It's the time.
You are so weird.
Does she have a lot of problems?
There's nothing too concerning.
What's this?
A Ouija board for work.
Spirit, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Who are you talking to?
What? Daddy. Are you there? Who are you?
Your sister's taking you to school today.
I don't want to go! I want to stay here and talk to my friends.
What friends?
I'll show you. Are you here?
Something is happening that we can't understand.
So now horror movies are getting prequels. That's just fucking excellent, I guess. And this would so happen to be a prequel to Ouija, which I believe came out in 2014, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm here talking about Ouija, Origin of Evil. Let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis of this horror-ness right here. So the movie takes place in 1965 Los Angeles. I love that time frame in movies, but it's not like as if there's anything resembling of Los Angeles in here to make you go like, oh, there go, there's that, or something like that. This movie could have been set anywhere because they don't really spend a lot of time outside. There's about a couple of scenes, but some are usually at a school or at a store or just outside in front of the house. So you can't really tell the difference. This could have been the East Coast for all we know. But basically, you got what's her name? Annalisa Basso, who plays, that's Lena in here. She plays Lena Zander, and you got Elizabeth Reeser, who plays Alexander. Everybody knows her from the Twilight films. And you got Lulu Wilson, who plays Doris Zander, the Zander family, that's right. And basically, as you see in the trailer, they're running a fortune teller scam, but they don't, well, at least the mothers, you don't necessarily believe that it could be a scam. They actually believe that they're somewhat giving closure and help to these people that are coming here and asking to speak to the dead. She tells a story later in the film how her mother was able to, some say that she was a fortune teller and stuff, and, you know, she believes that it skipped a generation on her and went on to her daughters or something like that. But either way, so her husband died. I don't think that Roger Zander, who's played by Michael Weaver, he makes a little cameo towards the end, and he passed away. So basically, one day, mom decides, or at least the daughter, which is Lena, she's the teenager, she's the rebellious one. She decides to go out to a party, play with a little bit of a Ouija board, get drunk and stuff like that. Next, you know it, bam, they get caught. She tells mom, he's like, you should think about adding a Ouija board to the gimmick, if you will. And she's like, no, okay. So she goes to the store. This is like the actual origin of the fucking Ouija board itself, because this is the year that the Ouija board was made. And it's funny that I'm going to say this because, and technically, this is another Hasbro fucking board game product. So, Transformers, Monopoly, and Battleship. Move aside, bro. Ouija is coming out for you. Which is funny because this has got to be the only marketing tool here that probably will never make people buy the toy or the game or whatever it is they're trying to sell, because this shit brings demonic presence to your fucking house. So she ends up buying it, and the rules are, there's three rules. I don't remember what they were, but I know the third one was always say goodbye. The first one was never play alone. And I don't remember what the second one was. I think the second one was don't break the circle. I forgot what it was. Well, the little one here, Doris Zander, played by Lulu Wilson, she decides, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to play with it myself. She starts moving around and stuff like that. Oh, you know what? No, it wasn't Lulu. I'm fucking up already. It was the mother, Alice. She was testing it out because, you know, she was running her gimmicks on it. And she played alone. And she's asking spirits, do you hear me and stuff. Next thing you know it, Doris upstairs, she's going like, yes, you hear me. Yes, we're coming for you, bitch. You will be our slaves and stuff like that. And next you know, she stops playing. So then next you know, she unleashes spirits. So next you know, it's like Doris and this board is connected. Then next you know, she gets possessed. All types of bad shit happen. There's your plot synopsis. So this movie, at the moment, right now at least, it has over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Some horror films that have induced in that theory, It Follows, The Witch. Personally, I think those are the only two, actually, now that I think about it. And I can't stand either one of those fucking films. Especially It Follows. That movie is fucking boring as hell. I don't give a damn what nobody... It is lackluster. I sat in a theater with Cody and my ex, and a theater, another full of audience and stuff like that, and we all sat there out of boredom and exhaustion. I just don't get why people like that film. This is another one of those movies you go like, oh, shit. It's gotten that fucking high praise. You know something's wrong with this film, and people just blinded by it. But I gotta tell you, watching this movie, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. I got to tell you. Wow. I'm actually shocked myself here. First of all, the first 20 minutes, Elizabeth Reeser from The Girl from Twilight. She plays Alexander here, the mother. I got to tell you, not only is she hot, that helps. But damn, she was winning me over in this. I was like, what's going on here? Why do I actually care about this character now? Now, when I say I like this film, is I like the film not for its horror aspect, but I like this film because it actually tells a story. This film literally tells a story. It has characters in there that you care about. It's not one of those horror movies where they try to beat you over the head with the ghost stuff. This family, actually, the reason why you care about them is because it's a lot about the husband's father's death. Now, he died in a car accident. And it's mainly about how this family can't pay the bills to survive. And it's usually going through the motions of why the mother lost her faith. There's a subplot in there of that one. And her getting back on the horse, talking with the pastor. I mean, which happens to be the principal of their school because they all go to Catholic school. I mean, this movie has a lot of stuff going for it, and I was actually looking at there and going like, I feel for the characters. There's actually characters in a horror film, and there's a good story to go along with it. And then you get on the technical aspect of it. It's a good technical film as well. Now, granted, the effects, as far as when it gets into the horror, it looks like shit. It looks like some cheap shit. I'm not gonna lie, it looks really cheap. But I'm talking about the technical aspect behind the camera. This movie has cigarette burns. People, if you don't know what a cigarette burn is, it's when in the middle of your, not in the middle, on the right-hand side of the corner of your film, there's a constant black little dot that's just flashing. It's blinking, it's clickering. I noticed that right away. I was just like, huh. I was thinking at first, I was like, something's wrong with the goddamn projector in this thing. I'd be goddamn shit. I really don't want to be that guy. But then I noticed, I was like, no, that's not a problem with the projector. That's a cigarette burn. And then I noticed, too, as I'm looking at the screen, there's this flickering on the left side of the camera. And I'm thinking, like, is there a light going on? Or somebody's walking through the door? No, that's the camera. That's the film itself. It's got, like, this background glare over it where it makes it feel as if this was shot in 1960s. So the director here, I think he did Oculus, if I'm not mistaken. His name, Mike Flanagan. I fucking hated that film, by the way. And this is no joke intended here, neither of them. But there was a theater full of, it was crowded, that theater. And a theater, like, I guess it was like a field trip for them or something like that. It was a couple of mentally challenged kids and stuff. And we kind of sat by them. They sat by us or whatever. And you know it's bad when the mentally challenged kids get up and say that movie was fucking stupid. All of them. They all said it. I mean, it was at least about six of them, too. And now you know your movie must suck if that says that. But I digress either way. So, and I got proof of saying that, too. So, getting into this film, I was so shocked by all the technical aspects he had in it because he makes you feel as if you're in a 1960s world and just how the camera is shot and stuff like that. I guess to go ahead and get into my negatives here. My negatives here, though, is pretty much the horror aspect of it. That third act was just such a... I don't know. It was such a letdown from the storytelling that was giving me. You just like looking at it like, oh, now we're getting into more of the... Because this movie has a lot of cheap jump scares. But the jump scares are more so towards the end of the film. And then when it really gets into that third act, it's like saying, oh, let's just say, fuck it, we got to go through it. I really just didn't care for the ending. And I thought it was such a letdown as well. Lena Zander, who's played by Annalise Basso. Look, I thought that for the character she was given, she did a fine job, but I thought she fucking sucked. I hated her character. I thought her character was fucking annoying. She redeemed herself towards the third act, which is funny because I don't really care for the third act, but I think she did something cool in that third act where I was just like, oh, wow, she didn't hesitate at all to do that. But as far as she's got this love interest thing going on, she's playing a 15-year-old dating a 17-year-old or has got a thing for her, who's played by Mikey, who's Parker Matt. And they got this instrument of, you know, the first kiss and stuff like that. I do like when Doris came downstairs. Well, not came downstairs, but she got off that TV and just looked at him and was just like, do you know what it's like to be strangled to death? Let me tell you something really cool. It's like a fire in your mouth, you little bitch. I was like, oh my God, this, somebody get this fucking girl away from me. And the whole time I was thinking, I was just like, where the fuck is your sister at? She's going to willow up in the bed going, oh, my first kiss. I just didn't care for the sister that much. There was a part where I thought I wasn't going to like the pastor, played by Henry Thomas, Father Tom. But then he grew on me more because he had a line where I was just like, okay, that sounds pretty fucking stupid, actually, what you just said. But most of the parts, that was my main, because the acting in here is actually really good. Elizabeth Reeser, she's damn good, and I love the fact that she's not one of these crying-ass mothers going like, no, my baby, doing this and stuff, and just acting illogical and stuff like that. She actually is a thinking mom in here, and even though her daughter is possessed, she still thinks about her next move and stuff like that. She just don't do anything off her reaction, which I like about that. Doris Zander, Lulu Wilson, hey, look, if you ever decide to do an Omen remake, I guess, and replace it with Damien and put a little Damonette or something like that. This girl kills it. I mean, she just kills it. She damn near almost the best thing about the movie because she is just perfect from beginning to end. It was shocking, too, because she's the youngest. I don't know how old she is, but she looks really young. I'm seeing at least about maybe 7. I know she's going to be, I know she's going to be in that Annabelle 2 movie, which I'm like, oh, God. I don't know, but if she can carry the same creepiness that she did in this film, she just excels because she was that perfect little cross between a 1960-year-old little white girl who's just all the cutest she can be to when the demon comes in after she gets possessed. You're just like, yeah, especially with that haircut. I don't want to be anywhere in that room, especially when she tells him, you want to hear something that's really cool? Let me tell you what it's like to be strangled to death. Come on, sit down. And you're just like... or the part where she's talking about the riches and stuff like that, and she takes this boy down in the basement, and in the background, it was probably the only horror effect that was the horror element that I actually did like, is where in the background he's reaching into this little this wall, she's in the back, and all you see is her eyes glowing yellow and her neck is just snapping back, and she's like, and I'm just thinking like, oh yeah, you're fucked, dude. Oh yeah, she definitely fucked. Granted, I think he's going to be fucked the way you got fucked, but he seriously got fucked. But no, she was just great. Props to this little girl, because she really did carry the film. I love, there's actually an effect in here I did like, too, is where she kept, because she's speaking to her father, at least she believes. The money troubles get solved when they find out that, oh, she's talking to the Ouija board, and then she goes downstairs and find in the basement a thing full of money. And she gives it to the mom and say, Daddy got this for us. She's thinking that she's talking to their dad. Which is a cool little side story there. Not to know that, oh, it's not really her dad. It's a fucking demon who's just disguising himself as everything that comes in contact with. What I like, though, is later in the film is she's talking about, oh, my neck hurt. And then she goes down to the board and she's seeing these little jump scares of something like picking out and stuff like that. So she goes to the mirror to look because my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, she can't see this demon is because that motherfucker is behind her. So she goes to the mirror and she puts a little the Ouija board triangle thing, whatever and stuff. She looks at it at the mirror And this motherfucker is behind her, holding her by the neck. And I love it too, because when she screams, this motherfucker goes right in her mouth and be like, check your nuts, bitch. And I like that whole thing. I was just like, oh, so he was holding her by the neck. So he was puppet mastering her real quick. So then he possesses her. And there's a lot of weird ass jump scare. Like, there's one where she's just like watching the TV and her mouth is just open, eyes down. He's just like, what was the point of that now? And it really happens in the third act. The priest comes in because, and I got another problem too as well. I just thought about this. The older daughter, Lena, she catches Doris writing something, because she's writing in languages that even the pastor's just like, are you helping her with her homework? Because she's doing shit in Polish and all that. It was like, does anybody in your house speak Polish? She's like, no. And there's a point where Lena catches her writing in Polish, but she's not even looking, and then she just walks away. So then Lena finds these pages, and she takes it to the pastor. The pastor conveniently has a nun there that speaks Polish. She comes from Poland and stuff. And the fucking three pages is a journal about this demon's life. And I was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So why would this demon write a backstory about himself and where he came from and what he's doing and stuff? That was just fucking ridiculous. So this demon has been haunting for many of years, and it's just decided to say, you know what, I'm bored haunting people. People need to know my story. Let me tell a story real quick. I was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I thought that was just fucking stupid. And I like how nobody's really talking about that neither, because everybody's just, oh, I love this film, whatever, but come on now. The goddamn demon is that damn bored. He needs to write a journal about himself. And the journal, which although I did think it was fucking weird and stupid, I did like the story of the journal now, where it was about this, you know, the war that happened in Poland when the Germans invaded it. And I was like, oh my God. I was thinking like, oh my God, is this a Nazi and living in their house? But it tells a story about this when the Germany invaded the Poland, and he was one of the doctors operating on Poland people. And he was pretty much like cutting their tongues out and stuff like that. And one of them escaped, and they all flew to America, obviously. And next you know it, this doctor found that person that escaped and tied them up in their basement of this house years ago and operated on him. So, there's a whole story of like that this demonic presence, the spirits of all these ghosts, these people that he killed in this house, they now wander in the darkness and cold of this place, haunting the people and stuff, and he walks it as well. And what was interesting about it too, because his name was Marcus as well, it was a whole backstory. And I was just looking at this and going like, wow, this horror movie actually put a story in there and a background story to the ghost that's actually kind of demonic in its own way. Because I'm like, holy shit, they're going back in the war days in here and stuff. And then, you know, so that's where the money came from and all that stuff. You know, there's a whole secret room on the other side as well too, where there's an operating table and stuff. And another thing I like about this movie is, you know, when the ghost is about to hit the fan, which he does, the first body that comes beneath is the damn boyfriend. She hangs his ass, and I was like, damn, ain't this PG-13? I don't, you know, these ratings are getting a little fucking ridiculous now. It's like, oh, we can't show blood in PG-13 movies, but we can hang a motherfucker and show it. It's like, anybody remember slavery or anything like that? Because I don't know, I think hanging a motherfucker does a lot more gruesome than seeing blood. I'm just saying, it's the most painful fucking death you possibly could have. You strangling for gasping for air, and meanwhile, next thing you know, your neck just snaps, and you're just like, yeah, PG-13, all right. And then there's some cheap effects too, like when she's climbing the walls, like there's no point of that. But one thing this ghost does too is it whispers in your ear, it tells you shit, whatever stuff. And you don't, I guess it's kind of brainwashing you for the future. You don't even know what it's going to do. And what it did was it did it to the sister, Lena. It was whispering her in. You're thinking it's killing her. It's not really killing her. No. She doesn't have to do shit. She's basically telling her what to do in the future. And basically the mother dies because Lena ends up stabbing the mother because of what the spirits told her to do in this little scene here. And the father does, well, I say he's make his cameo. He kind of comes into a vision in a way. I thought it was kind of silly as way too, because he actually carried her back to the bedroom, his daughter. And he was trying to tell her something that, you know, I know how to stop the voices from being told, because these voices are being spoken is what letting the presence of these demons feel. Basically, you got to sew that bitch's mouth together. And I did love this scene here, too, because it was just like, oh, I'm sorry. She says, I'm sorry, Doris. And she ends up sewing that little girl's mouth together and killing her in the process. And I was like, I thought it was cheesy how they did the sewing and all the hands are taking over and stuff like that. I thought it was cheesy as hell and it just looked kind of silly. But I liked the fact that it was just like, oh, wow. They didn't hesitate saying, I can't do it. She's my sister. That's my baby girl. Or whatever. She's like, no, sorry, Doris. And shut that girl's mouth closed. I was like, damn, they killed that girl. I said, shit. I said, wow, she's dead. Oh, man. And next you know, that's when the mother dies, because she ends up, Lena ends up killing her. You're just like, oh. And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. And then next you know, the ending comes where Lena's in a mental institute, because she done lost her damn mind now. She creates a Ouija board with her blood and uses, I don't know, this little piece of glass, and she brings forth her sister, Doris now, I was going to say Alice, Doris, who just does this little cheap-ass effect, crawl on the walls at the end of the movie about to attack the doctor that's there, and they're all smiling. She's like, we're a family, because Lena done lost her goddamn mind now all of a sudden, and then it just wraps up. You're just like, ah. That ending kind of sucked compared to the story that was being told. But, you know, I gotta say, I was pretty damn impressed. And the thing is, I shouldn't be impressed, because this is a thing that movies should do in general, rather you're a fucking horror movie, is have characters and a story arc and a fucking story for the background story of the damn ghost or something like that that actually is meaningful. You actually care about the people. That's what a fucking movie should do in the first damn place. So the fact that I'm impressed is kind of a backhanded compliment. But for the horror genre itself, it's actually a plus. It's funny because I hear a lot of reviews saying the same thing, probably, or at least I'm reading a lot of reviews saying, oh, it's got characters and stuff like that. Then why the fuck do you, if this is one of the first horror movies to do that in a while, do you keep praising these other pieces of shit horror films? I just don't get it. Because that's what a movie is supposed to have, a goddamn plot and characteristics of characters. But I applaud this movie. I actually enjoyed myself. It does get a little dragging on. I think you could have shaved off 10 to 15 minutes, because the story of this family in need and stuff like that, and then kind of finding their faith back when they believe they're talking. The daughter, the youngest one, is a gateway to speaking to her husband slash father and stuff like that. Is not really all that. It can be compelling for a little bit, but it's not that compelling to carry on a two-hour film, if you will. I think it's an hour and 40 or something like that. So it does drag for about 10, 15 minutes, but overall, I still was pretty damn impressed. I'm not a fan of the third act. I thought it got a little ridiculous in that part, because that's when usually the horror elements kick in. But overall, I enjoyed myself. I liked the story here. Characteristics was really good. So I'm going to give this just a rent it. I think if you watch this at home, especially for people like me and Cody, I think you would be impressed all the way through, especially with the technical aspects of the cigarette burns and the glaring lights and the turn of pages at the end of the screen as well, too. How it just has that 1960s feel. It really does feel like the director is putting you in a film that was made back in that time. And I think he does his team, at least his production team, should get a lot of credit for that vision that they had of doing this film in. So, yeah, and it also kind of adds into his creepiness in a way as well. Especially with it being the first of, it's kind of the Ouija board and hearing all the stories about it and stuff. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to give this a rent it. So, spoiling bastards, do you plan on seeing this movie? Does it not quite catch your interest because the original of one has sucked? Is this the first time you're hearing all the praise and just going like, oh my god, if P1 liked this horror film, then it must have something, because he don't like any goddamn horror films. So, if you decide to check this movie out, then you know what to do. Leave a comment in the section of your thoughts below in the middle of this review. And until next time.
I'm concerned about your girl.
What's this about, Father?
What are you guys not doing?
The spirit world is dangerous.
They were watching us all those years.
By using the board, you've opened up a portal.
Want to hear something cool?
Sure.
Do you know what it feels like to be strangled to death? First, you feel the pressure in your throat. And you start to taste something very sour in your mouth. Then, gun. It's like someone lights a match right in the middle of your chest. And that fire grows. It fills your lungs and your throat and all the way behind your eyes. And the last thing you feel is cold. Good night, Romeo.